Thanks a lot. We have quite a mix of presentations and topics today. I'd like to focus on what comes out of a lactating cow and then what to do with it. We have a new type of dairy housing that relatively new. It started about 2001 in Minnesota. Some dairy farmers evidently visited Georgia and found out from somebody there about this kind of housing method. And it includes a very deep stratified pack of typically wood products, sawdust, wood chips, that kind of thing, that is stirred every time the cows are out getting milked. Then you can go through with tines or rototiller and till it. And then with good evaporation, you keep a nice dry, loose surface layer, and underneath that is a wetter, compacted layer where most of the manure goes. So you can imagine pulling these tines through a surface layer of sawdust, and any dung pats and so on would immediately fall down through, and keeps the cows cleaner. Production often goes up. They have much lower veterinary bills, and sometimes the mastitis counts also go down, although that varies with management of the pack. So this is pretty good for cows, but what about for corn? So we ask several questions. Given this, you've got a pack of known dimensions. You've got a retaining wall on one side. Whoops, sorry about that. A retaining wall that you put in a otherwise freestall barn or an open pole shed. An open area for ventilation, the outside wall, and then usually some fans to provide ventilation, but you've got a known area. Could we actually sample this manure before application and get an analysis, which is something we can't do with most manure sources? Or could we sample it during piling before it's spread in the field? If we sample it in the barn, does it matter where we sample? That is, are there social aspects of this that would affect deposition? And then what's the unavailability once we put it in the field? We did this work on 8 compost dairy barns, that's another name for these stratified packs, across Minnesota. Minnesota is wetter here than it is over here. It's colder here than it is over here. So we've got quite a bit of climate gradient across Minnesota. And these eight farms are all family farms. The herds ranged from 60 to over 200 cows in the area sampled in a barn. Some of these were just subsections of a herd. They had between, a lot of this will be American English units. I apologize for that for international guests, but I'll translate later if you'd like. 60 to 97 square feet per cow. Recommendation for Holsteins is 80. 6 herds were totally confined, and 2 had ad lib access to outside areas. First question is, how do you sample a pack like this? We tried several kinds of samplers, and we decided on using an Eichelkamp Edelman type auger, which worked beautifully in this material just like it does in peat soils, organic soils. And then we made a custom cores to determine bulk density. These had teeth on one end. It was removable from the handle so we could determine density with depth. First, a little bit about water content. The top of this 8 barns averaged 61% moisture. We had one barn that was over 70%, and it was a sloppy mess. Others were down into about 40%, but the average was 61. The compact layers were much more uniform, right at 64%, plus or minus just a few percentage points. The wet bulk density, importantly, averaged 58.2 pounds per square foot. Per cubic foot, that's about 930 kilograms per cubic meter, with a very small standard deviation. So it does appear possible that a farmer or a consultant could sample the barns and know how much manure there is to spread, and then by sample analysis know the nutrient content. Surface layer was typically less than 10% of the total mass, so you can use this wet bulk density of the compact layer to work. I'll be showing a few other graphs that look like this. There are 8 buildings indicated here with a surface or a compact layer. These graphs show the 10%, 25%, the median, 75% and 90% percentiles of the distribution. And sometimes the lines are missing if we took fewer than 9 points. We sampled surface and compact layers separately at 6 to 9 locations within each building. and specific locations, that is, near that retaining wall, near the outside wall, in between. We'll show as-is nutrient concentrations, not based on dry matter, so that this would be what they'd be applying in the material at that moisture content, and already mentioned that. So this is total nitrogen, and you can see that across the eight buildings, there were four of them that were about 0.7% total nitrogen, and four that averaged about 1.4, double the amount of total nitrogen. This indicates right away that you need to sample your own barn. You can't rely on somebody else's. C to N ratios likewise had quite a wide range. We had four buildings, the compact layer at least in building one, that were down around 11 for a C to N ratio, and the other four were ranging up between 18 and 22. And that you'd expect to have an impact on nitrogen mineralization. Ammonium, which you saw briefly earlier, much more ammonium levels. These are pretty high ammoniums. This material is not composted, so compost dairy barn is really a misnomer. You can smell the ammonia coming off as you take the sample, but it really retains a lot of ammonium in that compacted layer because of tortuosity, presumably, keeping them in the pack. Phosphate was running about twice what the book value from Midwest Plan Service is for phosphate in solid dairy manure, although more recent analyses from Wisconsin indicate very similar numbers to what we got in these specialized barns. But essentially, almost 5.5 pounds of phosphate, phosphorus per ton. Potassium also was highly conserved in these barns. So we concluded from this that we can sample before application. We can end up with decent estimates of the mean, and we recommend 10 full-depth samples. Now, this could be as it sits in the barn or in the pile that's already mixed before spreading, but it is feasible to do this. Not something that a farmer likely would do, but a consultant might. So I mentioned that nitrogen was pretty high in this material. What does it look like when we incubate it under control conditions? This is days of incubation of a 10 to 9 manure to soil ratio. This is net nitrate nitrogen production. Zero is because we've been able to subtract the control soil from each of these, so this is what's coming out of the manure effectively. There's only one graph line here for ammonium, just to show you what happened on all samples. These are all replicated and then long-term incubations, but all the ammonium disappeared within about two weeks, and that was true in all cases. We had an immediate production of nitrate in three of the manures, and then that held steady for over 2 months before there appeared to be a net mineralization of new nitrate in the system. This rapid disappearance of ammonium is probably due to microbial utilization, but it could also have been to some losses by volatilization. pH is about 8.6 on average. Nitrate, though, only represented 10 to 70% of the initial ammonium. So, you know, where did that go? And we would conclude that most of it went into immobilization, because here we found in five of the manures, we had significant and obvious immobilization of the nitrate that had been produced. And in two cases, it was significantly below the control soil. And that period lasted from 1 to 2 months long. And this is a concern. If you're using this material in the field, you might end up with a yellow crop. So this is very easy to broadcast. It's nice, loose material, fine-grained. It's just easy to handle. It smells a little bit because of the ammonia, but the question is then, what's its N value to corn when we get in there? And does delayed incorporation, because there's so much ammonium N, does that affect N availability? So we conducted a field trial at each site with the manure that was present at that site. We applied it at essentially what we estimated to be 100 pound per acre N availability rate based on the Midwest Plan Service, because we didn't know what I'll tell you about in a little while. That was 6 to 21 tons per acre of manure, as is. Half of the plots were incorporated rapidly as soon as the farmer could get back in and either disc it in or use a disc ripper or some other primary tillage implement 2 to 48 hours later. And the other half of the plots were incorporated the following spring. This is a fall process. Farmers have to empty these barns roughly twice a year. We then applied 4 fertilizer rates to all of the plots, but we used a different range for the manured plots. We didn't go as high as for the controls. And this is a picture from one field. This is no fertilizer N with manure that was rapidly incorporated, and this is 60 pounds of fertilizer N. So here's the height, and here's the height. And this is obviously not quite as dark green as the other. So we saw some visual symptoms of nitrogen immobilization. We then used the data, and we used the SAS with the NLIN procedure to fit the response to the fertilizer results. So that's the line here, and the circles are the fertilizer N application rates, fertilizer N and grain yield. And then we shifted all 4 manure points, actually all of the manure points as a whole, not just the means, and we minimized the sums of squares of the residual between the predicted, the fertilizer N response, and the manure response. So we moved all 4 data points over, not just the control, not just this one, but all 4 of the rates over until we minimize the sums of squares, and that's what we're considering the fertilizer N equivalence of the manure. So often an experiment is done just with no fertilizer nitrogen on the manure, and we just move that point over to figure out the fertilizer N equivalence. In this case, we had 4 data points, more information, and we shifted them till they had best fit. This obviously assumes no interaction between the fertilizer and manure, and we didn't find any, in fact, in our experiment. And we found no evidence of a non-N response, that is, no evidence that maximum yield was higher with manure than without. So here are the 3 kinds of patterns we saw on the farms. We had linear response in a couple of cases where we saw no plateau in terms of grain yield with fertilizer N, even though we put on 180 pounds of N per acre. In this case, we have a 65 pound per acre N credit for the immediately incorporated and a minus 2 pounds per acre for that was delayed. So these are just shifted 2 pounds to the south, so to speak. We had a couple of sites had no response to nitrogen. That is, there was plenty of nitrogen present in the field, and so obviously we can't estimate fertilizer N equivalence at those sites. And we had some that were like this, where we had a quadratic plateau model, but the plateau occurred early enough that we could have the fertilizer N equivalence be here, or here, or here, or any place along here, and we would have the same residual sums of squares. So we can't estimate it again with any certainty. We can find a minimum value. It's at least 28 pounds of N per acre, but we can't estimate it better than that. And that caused some problems that I'll get into in just a second. This is the range of fertilizer N equivalence in pounds per ton when it was rapidly incorporated. 1.4 to 12.1 pounds of N per ton. That's quite a range to make any predictions about. You can't just say that compost dairy barn manure has X amount of fertilizer N equivalence. When incorporation was delayed until spring, it ranged from minus 0.3 to 5.3 pounds of N per ton. So this material, at least in one case, actually immobilized N, would have required the farmer to put more nitrogen on that next year if it wasn't incorporated. And this is problematic because with our extension folks and our NRCS representatives and colleagues in the state, they can't recommend more nitrogen when they put it on in manure too. So that's a real difficulty. Obviously, delayed incorporation reduces fertilizer N equivalence. This is rapid incorporation and delayed incorporation for building 1. And this is for building 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And there are a couple there that are missing because we couldn't make any estimates of it. You can see that it varies quite a bit. This is much less of impact of delayed incorporation than this case, where it turned out to be negative. But it wasn't predictable by what you might expect. A carbon to organic nitrogen ratio wasn't related to that change. And the ammonium N to organic N ratio also wasn't. We would have expected that this would be relatively good predictor because we would have lost the ammonium N with that delayed incorporation. So it wasn't predictable. In short then, because we lost a couple sites for non-responsiveness, a couple others because there was response to only a little bit of nitrogen and not very much, and we can only say what the minimum fertilizer N equivalence is, we have too few estimates of fertilizer N equivalence to develop a prediction model at this point. Well, can we use the current book values? This is Midwest Plan Service for solid dairy manure is our baseline. And if our estimate of fertilizer N equivalence was just like the Midwest Plan Service, all of our data would be right along this point, because this is the difference here. But we found that Midwest Plan Service overestimated fertilizer N equivalence in these four cases and underestimated in another case. These are large errors. That is, minus 60 pounds per acre, it was an underestimate of N availability by 60 pounds per acre. That means a farmer would have purchased and applied 60 pounds more N per acre than necessary. And here it's an overestimate, which means the farmer would have been shorting his crop by that much. So that obviously doesn't work. In the absence of good prediction equation for the fertilizer N equivalence, then we recommend at this point, since we have no further information, that farmers apply moderate rates of this compost dairy barn manure, maybe 10 tons per acre, to avoid pea buildup because the phosphorus concentration is really quite high in this material. Immediate incorporation to improve the N supply, and then only a small basal rate of fertilizer N in the spring, something that is that they can apply actually with their equipment and yet would actually provide some nitrogen to overcome any immobilization that might occur, and then to side dress additional N if needed. We actually feel pretty bad about that. It'd be much nicer to have a stronger prediction equation, but we don't have it. The full report's in Crop Management that was published in July, in case you'd like to look at that. We received support from the University of Minnesota and also from the USDA ARS. Thank you.